All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus 26. Exodus chapter 26. Let's begin reading in verse 15. "And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons, or their feet, shall there be in one board. 2 feet in one board, 2 hands, set in order one against another." In other words, there's one on each side of the underside of the board, just little straight little feet that come out of the board. And it says, "Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side southward. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. You get the picture here. These 2 sockets that came down out of each board had a foundation of silver, a socket that each tenon went into. So there was one on each side of the board. So one board was held together by 2 sockets of silver. They weighed 100 pounds apiece. And it says now, verse 20, "And for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there should be 20 boards. And there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards. And 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring. And thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards in their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood." Now these are the bars that run front to back and then across the back of it. This is what's going to hold it all together, you know. So these are bars. It says, verse 26, "Thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward." So you had 5 boards. You had, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 running front to back, left to right. All right, so you got 5 boards on each side. And then verse 28 says, "And the middle bar in the midst of the board shall reach from end to end." And it says, "And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold for places for the bars." The bars went through golden rings. And it says, "And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount." So the sides of the tabernacle, this frame, was comprised of boards made out of shittim wood overlaid with gold. That was the frame of this tabernacle. They stood up on a base of silver sockets. Each board had 2 sockets underneath it. And those silver sockets were made from ransom money, from redemption money. When we get to Exodus 30, I can't wait till we get there because it's such a beautiful picture. But this whole foundation of this tabernacle was made from the silver that God collected from redemption. Every one of them gave shekel of the sanctuary to remind them they were redeemed by God. So this foundation represents redemption. That's what this whole foundation typifies, is redemption. So everything in it is a picture of Christ. And then to bind the boards together, 5 bars were overlaid in gold, and they ran the length of the tabernacle, so the whole thing was bound together by these bars of gold. So you had the foundation holding it together. You had these corners
holding it together, and you had these bars holding it together. It's estimated, somebody said that there was over 5 tons of pure silver in these sockets. This foundation weighed about 5 tons. You can imagine how they constantly had redemption on their mind every time they moved that tabernacle, because it weighed those sockets weighed 100 pounds apiece. And that silver reminded them of redemption. That's where the shekel came from. And so that would be about $1.8 million today is what that foundation would cost. If you think about what our foundation costs, think about what the antitype costs, what that foundation pictured, think about what it costs, the precious blood of Christ. So my subject this morning is fitly framed together. So like this tabernacle was fitly framed together on one foundation and held together by bars, so are we fitly framed together on Christ, our one foundation, and held together by Christ as His holy tabernacle in whom He dwells. That's the picture here. Now, first of all, let's look at the boards. The boards typify Christ's people. Christ's people in Him by what He's accomplished. These boards were framed together. They stood upright. They were framed together, and Christ fitly frames His people together into His holy temple. Listen to Ephesians 2, verse 21. It says, in Christ, all the building is fitly framed together and groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. He's talking about His people. He compares us to living stones. There He's talking about the temple, Solomon's temple, but we're pictured in this tabernacle as well. We're the boards fitly framed together that by Christ and in Christ, and we grow up into a holy temple. Now you think about these boards representing you and I who Christ has redeemed. This shittim wood was a tree. It grew. It was a tree. It was rooted in the earth to begin with. Isn't that a good picture of us? We come forth into this world, and our roots are in this sin-cursed earth. And that's if we were left there, we would hold on to this sin-cursed earth, and we'd never let it go till God threw us out in judgment. But thankfully, by God's grace, the next thing they did, they came in and they cut that tree down. And you and I, by God's grace, were cut down. He has to cut down our flesh. He has to cut us down. And He brought us down into repentance from dead works that we were in. And then at the bottom of each of these boards, there was these two tenons. They were what you would call hands. I think the Hebrew word actually means hands. Or you would call them feet. But they were just two pieces that came down so that they could fit into those two sockets. Well, brethren, God gives us faith so that like these feet on these boards, we stand on one foundation. We stand on one foundation, Christ, in whom our redemption is fully accomplished. He finds us rooted in the earth. By grace, He brings us down, just like they brought that tree down. He gives us faith, and He makes us stand on Christ, our foundation. And these boards were overlaid with pure gold. They were overlaid with pure gold. And if you looked at them, you didn't see the wood inside. You just saw the pure gold. That's all you would see if you looked at them. The gold typifies Christ's righteousness, which covers us and adorns us. And when God looks upon us, brethren, in Christ, He looks upon us in Christ. He's not looking at the wood of our sinful humanity. He's looking at the gold of Christ's righteousness. And that's all He sees. That's all He sees. Now, the corner boards, we're told here, they were coupled together beneath and they were coupled together above. That was how they were made stable. They were coupled together beneath. They were coupled together above. And that's Christ's regenerated church. By the Holy Spirit, by Christ dwelling in us, we're coupled together here beneath in this earth. We're united in that bond of the Spirit that can't be broken because He won't let it be broken. And we're coupled together above because we're in Christ. And in Christ, we're one holy, spotless, unblameable church in Him. Coupled together beneath in this earth, coupled together above in glory. And another thing that's interesting is these boards were all equal length. They were all equal in height. All of them were 10 cubits high. You know how God sees His people? There's no weak believers and strong believers and carnal believers and spiritual believers. We're all equal because we're all accepted in one. We're accepted in the same righteousness of Christ, in the same holiness of Christ. And so we're equal. We're equal. And there's nothing that makes us not to be equal because our acceptance is one way. It's not in what we do. It's in what Christ did. And so we're equal in Him. We ought never look down on one another as one being beneath the other. We ought to look at each other the way God sees us in Christ. One. Equal. Equal. Now, secondly, we see how we're fitly framed together in Christ. Ephesians 2 said, in Christ, the whole building is fitly framed together. And we see here how it's in Christ that we're framed together when we look at the foundation. Did you see there in verse 18, he began talking about these boards. And he said, verse 19, thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards. Two sockets under one board for his two tenons. Two sockets under another board for his two tenons. And he keeps repeating that. He keeps letting us know that each board has two sockets of silver under it, under the whole thing. So you take these sockets of silver, these two sockets of silver, they were formed, you put them together, and they formed one foundation. One foundation. I think I read somewhere where these sockets were in the shape of triangles so that they fit together, they interlocked, so that it was one, when it was together, it was one solid foundation. Now, this silver foundation, when we get to Exodus 30, I was so tempted to just preach on this alone. But when we get to Exodus 30, we're going to see that God commanded they bring the shekel of the sanctuary. That meant it would be like saying, Bring me a half dollar from the U.S. Mint, one that hadn't been in your pocket, one that hadn't had the edges shaved off of it. In other words, it's got to be the exact weight of a shekel. Shekel was like a quarter or a half dollar. It was money is what it was. And he said it has to be the shekel of the sanctuary. It has to be a shekel that is the exact precise weight as God regards a shekel. You know, if you take your money and it goes in your pocket and you walk around with it, and over time, little teeny tiny bits get scraped off of that. And if you had a way to measure that, the weight of that, and it was so minute, it would show you that it doesn't weigh what it weighed when it came out of the mint, because some's been shaved off. Now, you might say, well, that's sort of splitting hairs, isn't it, that it, if just that little bit was shaved off? Not with God, because this represents righteousness. It's got to be the exact perfect righteousness God demands. When he talks about weights and measures, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about it being the exact shekel of the sanctuary. And so that foundation pictured the perfect righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ that He worked out for His people. God required it. And so it was called a memorial. It was to remind the people continually of redemption. Everywhere you looked in this tabernacle, in front of everything else that you saw, redemption. Redemption. And that's what Christ, when we stand to preach, what are we preaching? Why did Christ come? He came to manifest the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. I've said this to you before. I understand people, balking at the doctrine of Christ made sin because they don't want Christ's glory to be diminished in any way. And we don't either. We're not saying he was made a sinner. We're not saying he rebelled against God. What we're saying is it had to be done in perfect righteousness because, and I don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, but even more important than Christ's innocence was the righteousness of God that he was sent to manifest. You get what I'm saying? What we should be defending is the righteousness of God that Christ was sent to manifest. That was the very purpose for which he came. And so, however God did it, he did it perfectly righteous because that's what Christ came to manifest, the righteousness of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's nowhere else but in Christ. Our foundation is even more sure than these silver sockets. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. This perfect, spotless Lamb of God presented himself. And yes, sin was laid on him, and he was made to be that so that it was righteous for God to pour out justice upon him. But I'll tell you what it was that made it effectual. I'll tell you what it was that made it accepted of God, because in himself, he's the spotless Lamb. His blood was perfect blood. His blood was holy blood. His blood was righteous blood, and it accomplished justifying his people from our sin. He purchased us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And so this solid foundation held up the whole structure. Look at Isaiah 28:16. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read you several scriptures here that shows you that I'm not just making this up. Christ is our foundation. Look at Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. Matthew 16:18, and you can look at Acts 4 with me. Go to Acts 4, and let me read you Matthew 16 while you're turning there. You remember when Christ was talking to Peter, and he was talking about himself, and he told Peter, he said, thou art Peter. Peter's name meant stone. It meant a rock. That's what his name meant. But Christ was saying to him, Peter, your name is a rock, but it's on this foundation. He's saying it's on me. I'm the foundation on which I'll build my church. You get what he's saying? It was right after that that Peter was making his, or right before that, Peter was making his boast about never forsaking the Lord. The Lord said, Peter, your name is rock, but it's on this foundation I'm building my church. Not on you. I'm building it on me. On me. Look here at Acts 4:11. This is the stone. This is the foundation which is set of naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He's the head cornerstone. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, if we're going to enter into God's glory, into the presence of a holy God, and be accepted of holy God, you're going to have a righteousness that's equal to God's righteousness. I'm going to have a righteousness equal to God's righteousness. It doesn't matter if you obey the law a little bit better than your neighbor. because your neighbor breaks it, and so do you. And if we break one law, we've broken the whole law. We got to have a righteousness equal to God's righteousness. That's why there's salvation in none other but Christ. He's that perfect shekel of the sanctuary. He's that foundation made up of the exact measurement that God requires. Perfect righteousness. Now go to Matthew 7 with me real quick. Now you get the picture here. Now in that desert where they were, everything was sand. All around them it was sand. And if they had tried to build that tabernacle and used a foundation of sand, it would have fallen down. That was called a waste howling wilderness, and there was winds, and there was like the winds of trials that we face. There was strong winds. If they would have tried to anchor that tabernacle down in that desert, it would have fallen. It would have fallen. But this foundation was not sand. It was a rock. It was stone, and therefore it did not fall. Now listen to what Christ said right here, Matthew 7, verse 24. He says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," and I'll sum them up for you, "believe on me." That's what he was saying throughout that whole sermon. "Believe on me. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Brethren, whatever offerings, whatever works that they did in that tabernacle, think about it now. You've come to Christ, you trust Christ that he's your righteousness. There's a lot of people in this world that'll teach you now that's fine. Believe on Christ for your righteousness. But now when it comes to your holiness, when it comes to your sanctification, now you got to do some works to add to it. It's a co-effort between you and Christ. That is a foundation of sand. That's not according to these scriptures. Paul said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Having begun hearing about the works of faith of Christ and his faithfulness, are you now made perfect by hearing about works you must do? No. Christ is our sanctification. Christ is the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So if you start trying to build on that foundation something that you've done to add to it, God said he's going to send trials, and he said in the hail and the fire and the rain is going to sweep it all away because it's nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. But you notice when they went in that tabernacle to sacrifice thank offerings to God, on what foundation did they do everything? On the foundation of redemption finished. They didn't add to that foundation. They walked in there, and their walk and everything they did in offering those offerings to God, it didn't add to that foundation. It didn't add anything to that foundation. They did everything on the basis of that foundation already laid, already finished, already complete. And when you're truly sanctified, when God has sanctified you, when Christ is of God, Christ is made unto us sanctification, then the things we do in this world for him and his cause and his people, we don't do it from the heart motive of trying to add something to Christ. We do it from the heart motive of knowing the foundation is laid. It's finished. We're redeemed. We're holy. We're accepted. We're unblameable. We're unreprovable in God's sight. And that's the motivation for God's people to do what we do. We don't add to Christ. Other foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the only foundation. These boards were 10 cubits in height, and there were 10 gerahs of ransom money that was paid. Now, 10 speaks of responsibility. 10 cubits in height, Every board was 10 cubits high, and to have this ransom money, 10 gerahs were paid. Now you think about this. 10 is responsibility. Christ took, the boards represent his people. The gerahs represent Christ and his redemption. Christ, 10 represents responsibility. 10 commandments is responsibility. Christ took full responsibility for his people. He's the 10 gerahs that made up the foundation. And you see here, he paid the redemption price equal to the full demand of God's perfect law which we had broken. You get that? You see these boards? There's 10 in the height of these boards. There's 10 in the foundation. He took responsibility and paid the exact amount owed to pay for our responsibility, to meet our responsibility to God. He did that for us. So we rest in him. Now, thirdly, I want you to see the bars, these boards that were running front to back, left to right, holding the whole thing together. Verse 26, he says, "You make bars of shittim wood, 5 boards for one side of the tabernacle, 5 boards for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the board shall reach from end to end." In other words, there was the middle bar, there was 2 on the bottom, 2 on the top, but in the middle there was a gold bar that went straight through all the boards. It went through the middle of the boards, all the way to the end. And it says, verse 29, at the second part, "Their rings of gold shall be places for the bars." So they went through these rings of gold, "and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold." So you got 5 bars on all sides, overlaid in gold. This is the stability. You got the foundation holding it, you got the bars holding it, with 1 bar running right through the middle of the boards. Christ is the gold bar that holds his church together. He's the foundation, and he's the one whose omnipotent mercy and grace is wrapped around his people, wrapped around his church, to keep us fitly framed together, protected and stable in this world. He keeps us on the foundation. He keeps us pointed up to heaven. He keeps us looking to him and him alone. Listen to Ephesians 4:16. Go there. I want you to see it. Can I prove that he's the one that does this for his church? Ephesians 4:16. You got a little different analogy here. The Lord's comparing it to a body, but you could look at a building as a body. Ephesians 4:16, but this makes my point. It's all Christ that holds us together. It's Christ who's working in us, like that middle bar going through the middle of the boards. Ephesians 4:16, he's talking about the church, talking about why he gave preachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the church. Now watch this in verse 16. "From whom?" He just spoke of Christ there in verse 15. He's the head, Christ. "And it's from Christ the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working," according to Christ effectually working in the measure of every part. And so he makes us to increase, that makes the body increase unto the edifying of itself in love. Like that gold bar that ran through the middle of the boards, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory because Christ in you keeps you standing on the foundation. Christ in you keeps you fitly framed together with your people. Christ in you keeps you looking to Christ only. That's why Christ in you is the hope of glory. If you took that middle bar out of that tabernacle, it wouldn't have stability. That middle bar going through, along with those other bars, it's holding that whole thing together. And Christ is represented there. Peter tells us we've been made partakers of the divine nature. Christ is in his people. He's in his people. Now, each board had 3 rings. One at the end, one in the middle, one at the other end. And these bars, the one, not the one in the middle, but the other 4 bars hung in these rings. Every row of bar had three rings, and the bars ran through those three rings. That's what held it in place. Each believer has three golden rings through which we're united by God's grace, by our Savior. This is what unites us to one another. We have three golden rings that keep us united. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. I'll show you what it is. We'll end with this. It's right here. This is what Christ in you produces. This is what He sustains. This is all of God and not of us. And this is what holds us together. This is our union in Christ right here. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. Here's the three rings. Now about a faith. Who's that faith in? It's in Christ. Now about a hope. Who's that hope in? It's in Christ. Now about a charity. Love. Who's that love from? It's from Christ. Who's it in? It's in Christ. We're constrained by His love for us. These are the three golden rings that keep us together. Faith, hope, and love. And one day, we're not going to need faith. We're going to see Him. We're not going to need hope. Our hope's going to be realized. But we'll still love. We'll still love. And so He says, but the greatest of these is charity. I pray God will bless that, brethren. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed. Our gracious Father, we thank You that once again, that You give us these plain, clear pictures in Your Word, that You would use a structure, just a building, to show us Christ so that us dull sinners can understand and have some comprehension of Your mercy and grace in Christ. Lord, make us to see that Christ is all. He's our foundation. He's the bars that hold us together. He's the gold that covers us. He's the coverings that's over us. He's everything. And keep us looking to Him alone. In this hour, Lord, bless this word to our hearts. And we pray that in the next hour You'd meet with us and bless the word to us. Do the same for Your people everywhere this morning. Wherever they are, give Your pastors unction to speak clearly and preach Christ boldly, and give Your people the faith to behold Him and rest in Him alone. Lord, I know we suffer trials and of Your hand, but help us to understand that every one of them have this one purpose. They're to make us look to You. They're to make us trust Christ, no matter what they are. So, Lord, keep us in the trial until You accomplish that purpose. Make us look to Christ only. Forgive us, Lord, now for our unbelief. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.